Courtside the Virtual Hardwood, it's the NLSC Podcast, episode number 309. Andrew with you once again. With me once again this week is Derek, a.k.a. Deepa3 in the forums.
Oh, no, happy to be here. Top topic to discuss, but I think, you know, it would have been tougher to do this podcast on day one when we heard the news. So
absolutely. It's just been a terrible week in the world of basketball. The tragic passing of Kobe Bryant, his daughter Gianna, Gigi, and seven other people in a helicopter accident. And man, what a rough week, Derek, for the NBA family and us fans.
So basically, what happened when I heard the news, my two brothers were at the apartment. My brother Mark had just come over, and we were going to have our regular game day. Like I had told people on prior podcasts that, you know, every weekend we have basketball gaming weekends, and it's me and my two brothers. And he had just got there, and we were getting everything set up, and that's when we heard about the news. And it's like time stopped. We basically just, we couldn't talk. And then the whirlwind of rumors that ensued, where, you know, they supposedly thought Rick Fox was on the flight. That rumor went on for a good half hour at least, and in major news outlets reporting that Rick Fox may have been on the flight. Then there were rumors that all of Kobe's children were on the
flight. Yeah.
And it's crazy. Just how that was handled. And it's funny, the only place that was reporting it correctly at each point was TMZ. Of all places. And it's funny how that works. TMZ is known for gossip and whatnot. But all the major media outlets and some of the smaller ones too were just getting it wrong and trying to be first, and it's crazy.
And it's, I mean, I guess don't want to harp on that for too long, but it was really unfortunate to see that rush to be the first to report the details. And I guess that's the nature of the business, that to have those details. But when you're getting so many of it wrong, and that it was being reported before his widow, and how strange it is to say that, Vanessa Bryant, before she got to hear that the tragic news that it's being reported to the world, it's kind of more than kind of, it's very sad. But yeah, they were accurate at the end of the day. We'll have to give them that.
Yeah, and TMZ, and to your point, TMZ reported it before the families were notified. So let's not. Yeah. So I don't want to try to like give them credit for getting it right. I mean, they did have the stories right, you know, through the process. But at the same time, that is not good. But to not know. You know, to announce it before the families are notified.
No, absolutely not. And what a blow! What shocking news! I was up at the time. I up early in the morning, Australian time. It was obviously late evening in the US. Yeah, actually was scrolling through Instagram and saw rest in peace posts, and was really, this is this a joke, or you know, sick joke, or a mistake, a rumor that's been picked up. It's, you go back to what Shaq said, and that was a very difficult video to watch, as you might imagine, with Shaq being very emotional about it. You know, what did he say? That he wished that some butt face had made it up. You know, I think we all felt that way, and then logged on to other sources, obviously, and breaking news, and on the Facebook timeline, and all the other news outlets at that time were picking it up. And unfortunately, not a rumor. And it was just a very shocking way to end the week, or begin it in my case.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, you just mentioned the Shaq reaction. It's seeing the amount of real emotion from, you know, former players. And, you know, whether it be on social media or in interviews and whatnot, and some current players as well, it's been a very emotional week for everybody. And, you know, and not to get to and I want to make sure their, you know, names are mentioned. The surviving daughters, Natalia, Bianca, and Capri. I think that's how you pronounce them. Mm-hmm. Those are Kobe's surviving children, and Vanessa. That sometimes gets lost in this. Because, you know, we lost a basketball legend and people know Kobe from basketball and everything, but the family that's left behind and the three girls that are not going to have their father for the rest of their lives is just so tragic.
And that is the thing. We have lost this icon of the sport and somebody that inspired us and entertained us for so many years, 20 years in the NBA, of course. But yeah, as you said, there's that very human element of it. And I think Tony Reale had a great point. I'm not sure if you saw his comments on it and people saying, well, you didn't know him. You know, he was just a celebrity to you. But there's that basic human element, that empathy. And not obviously what he meant to people on a level as far as inspiring them and whatnot. And you can feel grief over that. But also, again, that empathy and sympathy for his family. And we've all... most of us, once we've got to a certain age, have lost people, and certainly not always as tragically. So it's one of those things where people, I think, want to be edgy or whatever and say it, or they think it's logical or rational. But it's very natural to grieve somebody that you've never even met, because of what they've meant to you on some level and how they've inspired you, or simply wanting to meet them one day because of that. And if nothing else, just, you know, caring about their family and their friends and what they're going through, because you can relate to that as a human being. And I thought Tony Reale really captured that and spoke beautifully on it.
Yeah, I think there's a point to be made about, you know, like false idols and and that, you know, they are playing a sport. But as you state, there is a human element. That doesn't change the fact that he was a father. That he was a husband,
yeah.
You know that he had four beautiful girls, and you know one that is now because I do have that right. Because he has four kids, correct? And there's three that are left. I believe there's three that are left behind.
Yes, three. Yeah,
three that are left behind. That human element of, you know, you don't wish that on anybody. You know what I mean? You don't wish that on those girls, or, you know, his wife or Vanessa or anything like that. So I agree with you. I think that there is a point to be made about people only focusing on the basketball aspect. They're like looking at him as like an idol only on like just based on basketball and everything. But, and I do like to a point, this is hard to talk about because there's like a fine line. But as far as you have to look at it from the human element side as well. Forget basketball for a second.
Absolutely.
And I think that's what people are have trouble doing. They have trouble separating basketball and the human element.
And
because he was more to life than basketball.
No question. Also, want to mention, obviously, you know, we focus on the famous person, Kobe, and his daughter, Gianna. There were seven other people on that flight. The pilot, Ara Zobayan, two parents and a teammate of Gigi's. John Altobelli, Alyssa Altobelli, Kerry Altobelli, Christina Mauser, Sarah Chester, and Peyton Chester, a couple of other young women, teenagers losing their lives and their parents as well. I just want to mention them as well because obviously, yes, as we mourn Kobe today in this tribute and I'm sure for many days, weeks, months, years to come, but I did want to mention their names as well because even though they're not famous, obviously, just as tragic.
Yeah, I made a Twitter post about the Altobelli family and made sure to include, you know, their names on it because, you know, that family is going through a really tragic and tough time now as well. And like you said, you know, they lost, you know, one of Gigi's teammates.
Yeah. Possibly two there, if from the looks of it. And a family losing both parents as well, it's and a sister. what a terrible event this was and news to wake up to, and our condolences, obviously, to everybody affected by this.
Yeah, and that was the other confusing part about when the news was breaking. You heard all day that it was five.
Yes,
all day with five people. All day it was there was only five that could fit in the helicopter, and then all of a sudden it's nine. And it's weird about the nine because I found out about it being nine. I think it was like the next morning. Like, they were reporting five all day, and then it was nine. So, I don't know. I think part of the problem is that social media is great for some things and a complete curse at other times.
No question.
Because of things like this, like where everybody, like we had talked about earlier, everybody wants to break the news first. It's so easy to reach people now on so many different platforms and whatnot. And just people are getting hit with news from all these different places, all of these different platforms and whatnot. And it's really frustrating. It was let's put it this way. The way the news was being broke, was really frustrating all day.
And it took a while for those rumors to dissipate, for them to be shut down. And even hours after they had been, disproven, people were still bringing it up. It took longer for the information to spread than the misinformation in some cases, which is, you know, it goes back to that quote attributed to Mark Twain about the lies or misinformation get around the world while the truth is still putting on its shoes, being attributed to Twain anyway. It's very true, and he couldn't have foreseen how it would be in the digital age, but it's even more true now.
Yeah, and, you know, the news is bad enough without freaking out all of the people who are fans of, like, Rick Fox, you know, or were concerned about Kobe's other children.
And their families, and friends, yeah.
Yeah, and their families, and I know I brought up the Rick Fox thing, but I don't know if you saw that, but the Rick Fox rumor lasted a while.
That's what I meant, yeah. It didn't go away.
And it didn't go away, and it was just out there. And what a random guy, by the way, to be in the rumor, too. It's like, yes, he was a former teammate of Kobe, but the last thing you would expect is for Rick Fox to be in that rumor.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, So, I mean, it's destructive the way it was being reported, and it really messes with people's emotions, and it gets people confused, and it stresses them out.
I've wondered about that, and because obviously he has a lot of teammates and has had friendships with them as well. Maybe it's because Rick Fox has carved out a bit of a second career in Hollywood, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, and he has. I mean, he was the actor in Eddie, that movie, the Whoopi Goldberg.
Of course, yeah.
He's been an actor. He was in another one, too. He was in a couple other ones, I believe, in the 90s as well. He's always been, you know, an actor along with being a basketball player, but And yeah, that does make sense where, you know, you would think that, hey, they were former teammates. Hey, you know, Rick Fox is Hollywood. Maybe he takes flights with Kobe. Right.
Yeah.
Like it is, but it's still incredibly random how it came about in the rumor mill.
Yeah.
And then how quickly, like after like an hour, like half hour or so of him being in the rumor. And then all of a sudden is, by the way, Rick Fox wasn't on it.
Yeah.
It's like, Jesus.
Yeah, I had to put out a tweet. By the way, yes, I'm, you know, I'm okay. And by the way, mourning the loss of my friend.
Yeah, it's just, and that's the thing too, is it's got to be hard on those people involved in those rumors too.
Yeah. I mean, and Shaq was obviously reeling from that news, and then hearing that his other former teammate and friend Rick Fox, erroneously reporting that he'd also passed in that accident. It's destructive, but finally, we did get the details out there, and they've had released some details about the crash. It wasn't that the flight was cleared because of the conditions, the fog. Very, very unfortunate that the decision was made that to go ahead when other even police helicopters have been grounded, not looking to assign blame or anything like that. It's, we don't know enough about it. It's, it, it is what it is. I was talking to my father about it, and Dad was, he was around, for Buddy Holly's passing, tragic, death in the 50s. And I was kind of talking to him about it and saying, this is, for my generation, almost our Buddy Holly moment. I mean, Buddy Holly was much younger at the time and hadn't had a long career as Kobe had. But as far as an accident that, you know, you remember where this you were when this famous person passed tragically and whatnot, it is kind of the Buddy Holly incident for our generation.
Yeah, I'll always remember where I was, you know, when I heard the news. But as far as the pilot and as far as what happened, I think there's some confusing aspects to it, and we don't have to get into that in too deep, but, you know, he was a very experienced pilot. Mm. I believe he had been Kobe's pilot for 10 years, yep. I want to say. Something
I've heard that. Yeah.
Yeah. He was also a pilot for, like, Kylie Jenner and whatnot as well. I found that out today. So he was used to flying around, you know, famous people and whatnot, and doing that route and everything. But I think what's concerning is the fact that from what I'm reading is he was almost advised not to go out, and he still did.
Yeah.
So I think, and I guess that was, from what I'm gathering, it was kind of uncharacteristic. So I don't know if maybe he didn't think it was as bad.
Yeah.
As saying, or maybe it wasn't like a long flight, or maybe he thought he knew the path well enough or something like that. But it's terrible when you hear about stuff like that, because you go, holy crap, it might have been able to be avoided. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And you
and that's
a tough aspect of it to say, because you don't want to assign blame to the pilot or anything else, because he was also a guy who had a family,
indeed,
you know, and friend and whatnot. But at the same time, you go, wow, this could have been possibly avoided if they had just not gone up and they had listened to that direction.
Yeah, we talk about what ifs in sports, and they're usually more positive or interesting. And a what if like that is, yeah, it's you almost don't want to get into it, as you say, because it's just, you think, could this have been avoided? Could it not? It gets down a whole road. I think that at the end of the day, the bottom line is that it happened, and whatever decisions were made and whatever happened in the air there, it's resulted in this tragedy, and that's what we're dealing with.
Right. And I do want to point something out, too, is the outcry when people thought that all of his daughters may have been on the flight. That was so sad to see. The amount of hurt people on social media, basically just wishing so much that none of his kids were on board.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? They're thinking about that loss of life. And when we found out it was Gianna, and you know, the thing about Gianna too, and you know this, is people have been progressively getting closer to her over the last few months, because the media has been putting out video of her playing basketball and with Kobe, and highlighting that relationship and showing her with the, you know, the Mamba mentality and the same fadeaway, and even doing clips of Kobe doing a move and then her doing a move and stuff like that. Like, people felt like they knew her, and that, I think that hurt a lot of people.
It does. On top of the tragedy of being 13 years old and losing your life at such a young age, when you got your life ahead of you, certainly people, as you say, had come to know her and see and how proud he was of her and everything else like that. It's just terrible, and obviously her teammate as well. And it turns out they were going to go to a game to play against Jason Terry's daughter.
Yeah, I mean. That's the other thing, too, you know, you think about, you know, there was 9 people on the flight, right?
Yeah.
You think about it. Here's what bothers me. He was using a helicopter for years, for, you know, most of his career. He was known for using that. You know, how many other players and players' families and stuff travel that way? You know, you bring up Jason Terry's daughter, right? Yep. And I worry, I think about those families, you know, and I just, I really hope that we don't hear another about another tragedy like this via travel.
Yep.
For events and whatnot. And I know that things happen and everything. It's just, I don't know. It's hard to put into words, kind of.
Yeah, it's been a reminder that tomorrow isn't guaranteed, I guess. That's the thing that people have been saying, and that the tragedy can happen, and that doesn't mean we shouldn't live our lives and live them to the fullest. Yeah, it's, like I say, sometimes you're at a loss for words to sum up the situation. In the wake of it, I did forgo what I was going to talk about in my Monday tip-off article and wrote a tribute, as I know you've read that one. I was hesitant to do it because, as we alluded to before, that wanting to jump on it and be the first and create content, you know, you don't want to be doing that, taking advantage of it in a clickbaity kind of way, because there were so many people doing that. I was hesitant. I second-guessed myself for doing it. I wasn't sure. That's why I even said in the introduction that I was hesitant because of the possible way that it wouldn't be seen as sincere, but I trusted that the sincerity would come through. And I want to shout out to Sticky Fingers here for saying, look, no, you had to write that for you, for him, for all of us, and thank you. So thank you, Sticky Fingers, for making me feel better about writing that and confirming that it wasn't coming across as ghoulish.
I think if you know in your heart you're doing it for the right reasons,
yeah,
that changes everything. I think where it's a problem is when, like you say, somebody's doing it for attention or clicks or clout or subscribers or for followers or to get attention themselves, you know, and you do see a lot of that.
Oh, for sure.
And reading your article and even and the timing of it and whatnot, I never gave that a thought.
Mm-hmm.
Me personally, I took a break from Twitter. Yep. A few days, took a break from social media. And today I actually uploaded a video of, you know, 32 minutes of me play, you know, locked on Kobe Bryant on 2K17 and, you know, 32 minutes of gameplay from a season that I've been doing with my brothers over the last few months. It's a My League on 2K17 where he was the cover athlete for the Legends Edition. And I almost, you know, how you said you kind of almost felt like, you know, how would it look? Even me uploading that video, which is just highlights of Kobe, which I've done many times before. You know, I've uploaded highlights of him. It almost felt like maybe I shouldn't be doing it yet.
Mm.
And it's been a week. So I know how you feel, because you don't want to come off wrong.
No. And that's the, and I think if you're sincere and you're doing it in that way, people understand where you're coming from. And I think there's been a lot of people paying tribute to him through video games. Obviously, if you've been playing video games and watching the NBA for years, whether you're an ardent Kobe fan or not, you certainly appreciate his talents and you're aware of it. And it felt like a tribute. And that's why we're doing the show, obviously, to pay tribute to him. And I said it in my article that one of those players that we don't necessarily appreciate until he's gone, and it, you know, for what I meant was really retired, but it's certainly with his tragic passing just emphasizes that more. And look, I'll put my hand up and say that I wasn't always the biggest fan. As I explained in my article, you know, he came along and had all the next Jordan talk, and me being that 12, 13-year-old pig-headed MJ fanboy, I didn't want to hear about that kind of stuff. This is crazy. To that end, I used to not like Grant Hill because of that. Grant Hill, one of the nicest people in the history of the sport.
But I think it's funny how that works, though, because
you grow out of it.
Yeah, you do. You grow out of it. I think what happens is when you're younger, and at that point you and I were the same age, obviously. Yep. So we were teenagers. I think it's very easy to basically latch on to an idol. Yep. You know, it's very easy to latch on to a team or an idol, and also vigorously defend that person at all costs.
And
not like anybody that challenges that status anybody that badly about him. So
I think that's what happens. We've seen it with younger generations, with different players, older generations, I guess, with the players they watched as well, and certainly the ones we grew up watching. And we won't, you know, I don't want to get into the debates of rankings or whatnot. Obviously, he is, whether you liked him or not, and he was, of course, for 20 years with the Lakers, the enemy to 29 other teams, because he would just kill our favorite teams. As I said, always that threat to go up for 50 points, or that flurry and that game winner, and you think you've got Kobe, and you think you've got the Lakers on the ropes, and then boom, and they're, you know, he's triggered that that comeback, and with that great clutch gene he had, as so many of the greats do. But I think at the end of the day, I'd like to think that under all that tribalism, and I can only speak for myself, but I'd like to think that underneath all of that, and growing out of the latching onto the idol, as you said, there was the respect there, and certainly he was, when he wasn't killing your team, at least, and destroying them with our respective favorite teams, it could be a thing of beauty to watch, and he was... As much as I've maybe criticized him at times in the later parts of his career, I felt that he wasn't transitioning to that Duncan role, but at the same time, he could still go off for 60 points in his ultimate game, his final game with the Lakers. I'd like to think the respect was there and that we could appreciate his abilities, and sadly may not have been able to do it as much when he was, quote-unquote, the enemy for so many years there. But what a player. Ranks up there, no question.
Yeah, you said clutch gene. I mean, he had 7 game winners in one season. And in that season, that's the difference between his team being the 1 seed and the 8th seed, because all the records were pretty close that year. Yep. So, I mean, that's pretty remarkable. As far as Lakers go, and Kobe, that's the rival of my favorite team my whole life. Yep. So, I mean, I grew up an hour outside of Boston, and I've been a Celtics fan my whole life, and Kobe had nights where he just killed us, and he took a championship away from us and whatnot. But one thing I've always been able to, look past is I've been able to look past it, going against my favorite team. And I've talked incredibly highly, and you've seen it on Twitter and on social media. I've defended him a lot, Kobe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I've done a lot of praising of his game and his career, and I fought a lot of negativity that went his way. And I really appreciate basically the way he played the game of basketball and his skill set and his two-way play, offense and defense. And he was a better passer than he was given credit for as well. The whole ball hog narrative.
Of course, yeah.
It's probably the biggest thing with him. And even Bleacher Report and ESPN were, always try to allude to that to kind of bring him down and everything. But the whole point, anyway, to stop this rant, basically, without getting into, rankings, he is definitely one of the greatest players to ever play the game.
Yeah.
Especially from a skill standpoint. My friend Craig and I, we played, basketball together in high school, and we were best friends and all that stuff. We used to go to a bunch of games, and we went to a Celtics game where he dropped 50 on us. And you can really appreciate him when you see him up close live. And Kobe was just killing us. And he was just hitting shots from all over the floor in people's faces. We tried to double team him, and he was still hitting shots. I want to say this was around 2006 when this happened. And it's just, he was so, from a skills standpoint on the basketball floor, he was ridiculous. And that's why, Kevin Durant came out with a quote that said, he doesn't understand how people don't think that Kobe and Jordan are the greatest to ever do it, and based on those skill sets that they had.
And I mean, the stats are there, obviously, and stats are big these days. But all the greats have their stats. The eye test, they pass the eye test. You see what they can do, the skill set, as you said. Just the way that Kobe, much like MJ, would make the tough shots, and you think there's no way that's going in. You've defended him as well as you possibly can, and yet in it goes on a tough turnaround fadeaway in out of a double team, and it goes in. And some of those game winners that he made were not easy. They were not necessarily good looks at all, but they went. And like Jordan, and like a lot of other great scorers, but certainly Jordan being a very apt comparison, you'd see after the game, it wouldn't feel like he'd missed a shot. They may have missed 14, 15 shots and made 25 or so, made more than they missed. But it felt like they never missed a shot when you watch them, and it's such a strange phenomenon to go back and watch the whole game when they have a big scoring game from players like that. Where it does feel like they didn't miss a shot yet. They did miss a few, but made more than they missed.
That's how I felt watching Allen Iverson a lot. Just like watching him play, and he was such a good, tough shot maker. He'd be making shots with guys draped on him, or he'd get like in the middle of the lane and you'd almost see his body disappear, and you'd see the ball come out and it would like go in the hoop. He was ridiculous. Iverson was. And then you'd be like, man, he had such a great game. And then you'd look and he shot like 42%.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Like, man, it felt like he didn't miss. And it's because, like you said, it's that difficult shot making and the ability to hit shots in so many different ways, too.
All
over the floor and off balance and catch and shoot and set shot or, on the move and fading away. And it's just the ability to do all those different things. It's part of the reason why I love using Kobe in video games.
Yeah.
You know, I've uploaded many videos with me either locked on Kobe or using the Lakers, the 09-10 Lakers that we modded in, or the 2000-2001 Lakers, or the 05-06 Lakers we modded in and whatnot. He is just really fun to use in video games.
With such a diverse skill set, it's he can hit the three, he can make the mid-range shot, you can drive in for that those famous reverse dunks he'd do under the hoop. I mean, you think of the signature dunks, and I know when people like to talk about threes these days, threes, they do their job, it's a bucket's a bucket, but the dunks, you think of Jordan with that leaner, you think of Dominic with the windmill, and Kobe had that... You talk about that Kobe reverse dunk, and you know what I'm talking about. That's the thing.
Oh, yeah. If you look at the video I just uploaded, I do that dunk in the first game of highlights. Mm. So in the first, 2 minutes or so, you'll see me go baseline and do that reverse dunk on the opposite side of the hoop.
Very cool. Very, very cool to see.
Yeah. It's awesome. What's funny, too, is people don't talk about this enough, he was doing that up until like year 17. Like, he was still before he hurt himself, before his Achilles injury, he was still throwing it down reverse and still doing that stuff. He had other signature dunks too. Like, he had this one-handed dunk when he would drive, he had that he had like a 360 in front of the hoop dunk.
Yeah.
Or whatnot that he would do, and like I can see him in my head. There's a Kobe Bryant ultimate highlight reel that was made by the NBA. I think it's around 10 minutes or whatnot, and it shows so many of those dunks, and it's just I go back and watch it all the time.
One of the most famous was actually in a preseason game. You'll probably remember it as well, the dunk over Ben Wallace.
I thought you were gonna say the behind the back, and then he did that behind the back and then reverse dunk.
There is that one, but there was one where he just leapt over Ben Wallace or leapt into him and just drew it right back and threw it down. It was in a preseason game, because I remember seeing the footage back when I first saw it and thought, that's what court is that? And that looks like a college court. Indeed, it was. It was a preseason game against from the 99, the abbreviated 99 season. His third season in the league, and he was just starting to come into his own. I think that was his first year as a full-time starter, and of course he started in the All-Star game before he was really even a full-time starter in the NBA. He only started one game, I believe, in that 98 season when he was made that first All-Star team, and that first real clash with Michael Jordan in the All-Star game there, and we thought it was going to be the one and only until MJ's comeback with the Wizards. But just how classic that was, the past past versus present, or present versus future, however you wanted to look at it. He had that fake behind the back dribble into the hook shot, the alley oop to Kevin Garnett. You could see he was special, and indeed that's why he was on the cover of a couple of games before he was even really a star. He was on the cover of or the face of NBA Action 98, the PC and Sega version of the game that you grew up playing, Fast Break 98. I believe Fast Break 98 just uses the Bulls and the Jazz on the cover.
It does, yeah. They're going for a tip. And, yeah, I agree. I believe they're going for a tip. But, no, I know what Dunk you're talking about against on Ben Wallace, because it looks like they're playing in a high school gym.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, and the other dunk that he's famous for, too, is the dunk on Dwight Howard.
Yep.
Where he, I think it was like almost like a welcome to the league dunk.
Yeah.
And he goes really high up and basically just throws it down on him. That's what people that, you know, a lot of these kids today, they know the Kobe while he was still doing that, those, you know, dunking up until year 17 and stuff. They never really saw the high flying Kobe.
No.
The super athletic Kobe. They actually are more used to the methodical Kobe from his later years. And, man, he could get up. So
absolutely, yeah. Former dunk champion, going between the legs when that was still a relatively fresh thing to do.
Yeah, it's funny, too, though. His between-the-legs dunk looked awkward to me. It always did, because of the way he, like, kicks his leg. Like, there's just this weird look to his between-the-legs dunk. But he was wiry. Like when he first came into the league, he was super skinny and wiry, and I think that because of that, sometimes some of his dunks wouldn't look as explosive as those of like Vince Carter and whatnot.
Yeah.
But he could still get up, and he was one of those guys that was a better in-game dunker and dunker in traffic than he was during like a dunk contest.
Got a 49 for that dunk, incidentally.
Oh, there you go. I mean, they hand out 50s like they're nothing now.
That's
so
true.
Good for him.
But it's funny. That wasn't a great contest start to finish. There was some really good dunks in it, including his. And it had a really weird format. It was during that time when they had the routine going instead of the attempts. So at that time, the dunk contest had passed its initial golden age. And of course, they'd cancel it in 98. They didn't have it at all. They brought in All-Star 2-Ball, and there's that great Cheryl Miller quote, forget the dunk contest, 2-Ball is here to stay. That was not a good prediction on the part of the legendary Cheryl Miller there. And the other game, of course, the Courtside series, NBA Courtside. I remember getting that for the Nintendo 64. I have a copy. I traded it in and then bought it again years later. And I covered that in Way Back Wednesday. And it's kind of funny, that game. It's one of the few games around that time that doesn't show ratings. And also, Kobe is starting for the Lakers at point guard, which he never did that season. It was Nick Van Exel and Derek Fisher. But I guess you can't have your cover player.
So the night before we found out that he got into that crash, I was playing Courtside 2002.
Mm-hmm.
My brother and I have it for the Dolphin emulator.
Oh, yep.
Yeah, and we were playing it, and we were actually surprised at how smooth the animations were. But, yeah, you're right. He was prominent in video games really early on.
There was always rumors that he had a hand in the ratings, and that was why they were hidden, but... I mean, maybe they asked for his input in some point. I just can't see him sitting down and assigning ratings for 300-plus players. You know, I've tried to find the source of that rumor, and the only thing I can really find online is my articles referencing the rumor and saying that, as far as I know, it's just a rumor. I remember that was the rumor back in the day, that and him not wanting anyone to use his mocap moves. I don't know where that originated, how much truth there is to it, but, again, it seems very unlikely, especially with the ratings, that he'd be sitting down in the middle of a season that he's playing, and, oh, by the way, Kobe, can you just rate 350, 400 players for us? Like, yeah, sure. You know, that's something I have time to do.
Well, part of me thinks that we all know that Kobe was confident. Like, almost like no other. Just his confidence and him and Shaq had an ego.
He was cocky as a youngster. They mentioned it, how brash and cocky he was on commentary.
Right, we're going to be honest on this podcast. So that's So he was cocky. Kobe was cocky, and that was part of his swagger, though. You know, that's part of what made him who he was. But you know, Dennis Rodman came out with a story. You know, his short stint with the Lakers. He came out with a story recently, and they asked him, you know, what happened. And I don't know if it was recent. I read this article. It could have been from a little bit further back. But they go, you know, what happened? Why didn't you stick with the Lakers? You know, why didn't you finish that season? Mm. And he said he couldn't handle Shaq and Kobe. He said that he was used to, you know, he was used to a very relaxed atmosphere. You know, he came from that, you know, with Jordan and Pippen and everything was controlled and professional and whatnot. And then he went to the, you know, play with Shaq and Kobe, and he said that, you know, they had just won 10 games in a row. They had just gone on like a 10-game win streak, and Kobe and Shaq would just nonstop bickering and talking and their egos and all of that stuff. So, again, we're going to be honest. Not everything is great.
No.
You know what I mean? There's things that – so and I'm sure that led to the demise of that relationship, at least during their NBA careers. You know, Kobe and Shaq, because they were just bickering.
And I feel there's some revisionist history there, and Shaq, and obviously who is mourning, because they did have a relationship, even if it did get strained at times, and they did make up after their careers ended. I think there's been some revisionist history there on his part about, you know, it was, I think he said at one point it was just for the media or blown up by the media, and I think Phil Jackson himself said, no, I was there, Shaq. I was witness to these blow-ups, and he wrote that book.
Yeah. Wrong with that, though? You know what I mean? I need to point something out. It happens. It's sport. Like, you're going to have egos. You got players making a lot of money, fame, fortune, all of that stuff on the line. You know, egos get in the way. And the point of me bringing that up is, if Kobe tried to be a control freak about courtside, that wouldn't surprise me. Like,
but you know, the fact that they could see that greatness in him and knew that he, I mean, back then cover players weren't as big a deal as they are now, and that it's that people kind of balk at cover players who aren't the top star or whatever. But at the same time, they could see that he was going to be a marketable name and a big name in the sport. And that series didn't last very long. A Nintendo exclusive, obviously, with Left Field Productions being a second party developer for Nintendo. But there was some good stuff for those games. Of course, I remember in the 64 version, being able to hold the shoot button to hang on the rim and get the technical. There was no point doing it. There's no advantage to it, except for the fact that it was kind of cool to get it and to be able to hang on the rim. You know, it's something that other games didn't let you do, which is. Which I think when you go back and look at those old games is something that it was a novelty in and of itself.
Yeah, I even said that, you know, the whole like when you dunk like every time on in the zone, you pump your fist.
Yeah.
Or like you had like college slam where you could break the backboard. Like it didn't really do anything for the game, but it was cool when it happened. It's like, look, I just shattered the glass.
Yeah.
But there were back then. There wasn't as much authenticity, and they couldn't do as much as they do today. So of those, you know, we talked about this on prior podcasts. All those little things just added up, and they were really cool when we saw them. So, but Kobe, as far as Kobe goes with games, and we talked about this, you know, before, and I did that video recently with 2K17 with the Legends Edition cover, but. 2K, he was on the cover of 2K10.
Yeah.
But if you go back, there was a large drought where he wasn't on covers. Like, I think, didn't it go from courtside to 2K10?
Pretty much. And, I mean, obviously there were controversies that affected his sponsorships, which I imagine was part of the issue. Although I do remember asking, or a few of us asked about it at the NBA Live, I want to say, 08 event about getting someone like a Kobe on the cover, and they said sometimes it just comes down to interest or indeed money, and sometimes players want to have their name on the cover, you know, NBA Live featuring Kobe Bryant, and EA didn't necessarily want to do that. I mean, they did that with the Tiger Woods PGA series for years, but for the NBA brand, they didn't necessarily want to have it, you know, Kobe Bryant's NBA Live or whatever. So it came down to money or demands like that, and that's perhaps why. And then when 2K became the strong brand, I guess maybe had some leverage, or again, maybe, you know, some of the controversies there or whatever that changed the situation. But yeah, it got onto the NBA 2K10 cover. It's interesting, there were different designs. I did an article about it for Wayback Wednesday, and there was the one of him in the Knicks cover, the Spike Lee having him in the Knicks jersey, and with number 17, I believe. He was Linsanity before there was Linsanity. And there were different designs, and it's interesting to go back and see what the alternate designs were. But yeah, he was the 2K10 cover athlete, and won the championship that year. I mean, there's a lot of cover players don't win the championship in the same year, but he was one of the few that did.
And 2K10 was a good game, too.
But
really funny is I just looked it up because I remembered something about NBA 09, the inside. And here's what's funny. So NBA 07, NBA 07, The Life Volume 2, has Kobe on the front.
That's right, yeah, yeah.
So he was a cover athlete. And then NBA 09, The Inside, has six cover athletes. So they have six different people on the cover.
I remember that,
and
yeah.
one of them's Kobe. The other is LeBron. They have Paul Pierce, Dwayne Wade, Carmelo Anthony, and I want to say, randomly, Carlos Boozer. So one isn't like the other. It's weird to see Carlos Boozer on there.
Yeah, they've kind of gone for the GTA collage with that cover.
Yep, they have. So Kobe was on 09 the inside as one of the six, and then he was also the cover athlete for NBA 07, which is rare. One of the random games that I haven't played for basketball gaming. It's one of the rare ones. But as far as 2K10 goes, I have that installed on my computer, and, you know, mods, and I talked about mods on the last podcast, actually, for 2K10, the 96, 97, 91, 92, and 02, 03 mods. And the one that I have installed right now is 96, 97, and I use Kobe all the time on that mod, and then also on, like, the 02, 03 one. But that game by itself, like you said, they had won the championship. So he was the cover athlete, and the Lakers ended up basically that's Kobe saying, look, I can do it myself. You know what I mean? Those championships are Kobe's, and not saying myself because it's a team sport, and he had the help with, you know, Pau Gasol, and everybody has to pitch in and whatnot. But those were his two championships without Shaq. So for his legacy and his career, it was a pretty damn big deal to get those two.
I mean, he was one. They were 1A and 1B for the most part, especially by the third straight championship in 2002. But definitely Shaq was. It would be revisionist history to say that Kobe was the leader of that team. I mean, Shaq was the one averaging ridiculous 30 plus points, 15 plus rebounds, and just destroying the league at that time. At the center position, because a lot of the bigs from the great bigs of the 90s had started to fade away, and the league that wasn't really replenishing the league with great new players. I mean, you had your players like Eddie Curry coming in, called Baby Shaq, and not quite living up to it as much as Harold Miner lived up to the Baby Jordan name, I guess, in some respects. But Shaq was, you know, deservedly the Finals MVP on that. So I'd absolutely agree. And that was the knock on Kobe, that after Shaq left, you know, he was getting all the points. He got the 81 points, the 62 in three quarters, and putting up these great numbers, kind of like Harden is now, I guess, although more efficiently, and more spectacularly, I believe. But that was the knock on him. He was getting the numbers, and much as Michael Jordan had in early in his career, that he was putting up the numbers but not having the team success. And by 1990, people were questioning whether he would ever have that success. And much like MJ, Kobe got that team around him and proved, yes, that he is not just that great individual player, but a leader as well, and the clutch gene that we referred to, and won those two titles, and definitely, I think, cemented his legacy as much as anything that came after that.
Yeah, Kobe, you know, the thing with you had talked about Shaq and as far as like the centers dying out.
Yep.
You know, like, you know, Patrick Ewing, David Robinson, Hakeem Olajuwon, those guys on their last legs are out of the league. And then it moved into this power forward thing. And it was Kevin Garnett and Dirk Nowitzki
Duncan.
And Chris Webber and Jermaine O'Neal, who I'll always consider more of a power forward. And then Tim Duncan, who was a power forward for the majority of his career, for the, you know, for like half of his first career. The first half of his career, whatnot. It became a very power forward dominant league and guard and power forward dominant league, I'd say. Because you had all the guards like, you know, Kobe, T-Mac, Vince Carter, Steve Francis, Baron Davis. Yep, the wings, the athletic guards, and all of that stuff. But Kobe, like you said, he really cemented his legacy by getting those two and also beating the Celtics, who had a very good team.
Yeah.
I mean, they, you know, when we lost to, and of course I say we, Celtics.
Yeah.
We, you know, we had Rasheed Wallace that year. Yes, later in his career, but we had him. You know, we had Kevin Garnett, we had Paul Pierce, we had Ray Allen, we had Rondo. You know, we were a good team.
Yeah.
And on paper, we were a better team than that Lakers team. And, you know, you bring up Jordan's first three titles. If you actually go back and look, Jordan's teams were not good, really.
No.
On paper. They were not deep. They were not very good at all. I really appreciate Jordan's first three titles and what he was able to do because he wasn't stacked. Those teams weren't stacked. And I also appreciate Kobe's two titles in the late 2000s because while I think they were better than what Jordan had, I think that those were not stacked teams. I don't look at those two Lakers teams as stacked. And I also have to appreciate that the West was stronger than the East and the teams that he was going through.
Oh, yeah.
In order to even get to the finals, was at that time incredibly impressive.
And I think by that point, he'd also shed some of the. I look at a lot of the players that have come out of high school and the ones that have gone on to great success. I think the flops of the kind of high school have actually not been. A lot of them have not been as good, but many of them have still been quite solid. But the ones that have been great, you know, and we know the great ones and. KG, LeBron, Kobe, of course, and Moses Malone. With Kobe, there was still that petulance early post-Shaq and pre-championship and the refusing to shoot, for example, in that Suns series and that when they blew that 3-1 lead to the Suns. There were things like that, but that's the maturity came, and that was something that perhaps people continue to focus on the petulance and things like that when he actually did grow as a player and a person. Then look, they reckon that a lot of us don't really reach that maturity or start reaching that maturity until 25. And he came into the league as 17, at the time the youngest player to have played in an NBA game. I think 5 days later, Jermaine O'Neal beat that record. And then Andrew Bynum ended up beating the two of them. So, you know, it's just the way it goes. And I think he grew into that role and obviously became that... That leader. Oh, incidentally, you are right about NBA 09, the inside, all those players, including Boozer. And Boozer does stand out as the quite unusual one in that montage. And then NBA 08 also had a collage, actually. That was Iverson in a Nuggets jersey, Yao Ming, Kevin Garnett, Dwayne Wade, LeBron, and Steve Nash. So it's kind of a snapshot of the NBA at that time, I guess.
No, absolutely. I think that's kind of cool that they did that, honestly.
It's different. It does stand out, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, as far as I'm going to call it an attack on high school players. I'm going to, you know, coming to the NBA. Not what you did, but what people do.
Yeah, very fair.
Because look at how many players that spend 4 years in college phase out immediately.
Yeah.
Like they like have one good year. I mean, one year in the league, 2 years in the league. Look at Jimmer Fredette, right? Look at guys like J.J. Redick. Look how long it took for him to find his niche. You know, people were starting to talk about, is he going to be out of the league? Because he wasn't playing much with Orlando at the start.
Amazing to think that, yeah. So,
Yeah, look at Tyler Hansborough. He didn't last very long.
No.
In the league. Look at Jared Sullinger. You know, I can give so many examples of guys who spent a significant amount of time or a decent amount of time in college that completely failed, or not failed, because I hate that word. They didn't make it. You know what I mean? Or they didn't last longer in the league. But I can point out Hall of Famers and legends that also came out of high school, didn't go to college, like Kobe, Moses, Kevin Garnett, et cetera. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I hate the whole stigma. Well, you know, players should stay in college longer and whatnot in order to make themselves a better NBA player. I'd like to see the stats around that. You know what I mean? From players that actually made the jump from high school to the pros. Obviously, there's going to be that Kwame Brown, right? But, I mean...
Even he stuck around for 13 years.
Right, yeah, but exactly. Yeah, let's point that out, too. He stuck around. But then, if there's that Kwame Brown, there's also that Jimmer Fredette, and who didn't make it even close to as long in the NBA as Kwame Brown. So, I hate that. I think that my opinion is if you're 18 years old, you're an adult. And there should be no rule that says high school players, adult men should be allowed to play in the NBA if they have the skills to do it.
We've got the G League now as well. So there is that minor league system, which really it's there. If players aren't ready and they need that seasoning or that idea to be, they need that experience in a professional setting, but maybe not the big lights yet. That's what they've got. I mean, you look at by the numbers of players that absolutely flopped out of high school and really were disasters. The only thing, two that I can think of that were complete disasters, Leon Smith and Robert Swift, and even they, Robert Swift stuck around for a little while as well. But by the numbers, there's been more college busts than high school busts, if only because there's been more players coming out of college than high school, I suppose. College. There you go. It's getting late in the afternoon. By the numbers, but even by percentage, the percentage of high school players that may not have lived up to expectations, like a Kwame Brown, this is about Kobe, not about MJ. I mean, I'm not going to defend that as a great pick, but at some point, some high school player was going to go number one, because it was in vogue at that point. It was a matter of time. There was hype around him. It was a bad call. I mean, four of the, I think, three of the top five picks were high school players that year?
Eddie Which year are you talking?
Kwame Brown would have been. Kwame Brown one, I think. Oh, yeah. Eddie Curry two, and Tyson Chandler four, or maybe around the other way with those two. But I think Pau Gasol third. So three of the top five were high school players.
And, you know, I can't knock them going for Kwame Brown, considering that draft and considering what his upside was. Do you know what I mean? He was a athletic guy that could play. He almost looked like he could play three positions, like before he came into the NBA, like the three, the four, and the five.
Yeah.
And for that Wizards team who needed a big, but one that was athletic and could get up and down the floor and everything, it's hard to knock him for it, because how do you know, right?
Yeah.
There's certain picks that I'm just like, are you kidding me? But I don't see that with him. You know what I mean? I mean, if you actually think about it, one of the bigger surprises for a lot of people was Sebastian Telfair.
Yeah.
Sebastian Telfair came out of high school, was touted at the same level, I believe, as like LeBron James, if you remember correctly. He was really, you know, promoted a lot.
Certainly to the extent of his, I believe, cousin or second cousin, Stephon Marbury.
Yep, yeah, exactly. And look what happened to him. I don't even think I honestly don't think he had as many years in the league as Kwame Brown. I'm going to have to look it up.
It's about, I think it might be similar, because it was still in as of a few years ago, oddly enough, but yeah, I mean, they still ended up having about a decade in the league or so, and that's pretty respectable. There's a lot of college players that didn't do that to that point. I mean, years later, with the Bobcats at MJ's direction, they picked Adam Morrison 3 years in college player of the year, and you just don't know how plays are going to pan out. It's not a guarantee, and I think you just look at some of those great players, you know, like Kobe, of course, that have come out of high school. I understand the concerns about having them, especially with the really big salaries these days. But again, that's why you have to have the support system in place, and you have the G League and whatnot. It's just a shame we don't have what an asset Kobe could have been, of course, to mentor and advise young players coming out of high school now, if indeed they bring that back, as they've been discussing.
No, absolutely. Oh, and Adam Morrison has two titles. Let's not forget that.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, he's not the GOAT Joel Anthony, but you know, it's
they're up there. I mean, they're top 10.
Yeah,
let's just put it.
I mean, as far as foreign memes go, I mean, he's right there with the Derek Martin and the Incandare and Joel Anthony. So as far as four NLSC forum greats, so yeah, the stash, you know. But
video game legends.
Yeah, and you know,
there's another thing. So.
All the video game legends and
Swift. You brought up Robert Swift. Robert Swift's a video game legend in our house. My brother, my brother Mark would make it a point every time we do a fantasy draft, he would draft him single time. Mark loved height. I don't know if you know the lead singer of the band Megadeth, Dave Mustaine. He has red hair, and my brother always got. We were. You know, Megadeth was a band that we grew up with or whatever. We listened to him a lot. So he would always talk about Robert Swift and call him Mustaine. And it was like, he's a legend in our house because of video games. And we've talked about that, how players can become legends via video games. And Ansu Sese is another one.
Yep.
Who played for the Supersonics. So.
And I remember, I brought it up in Monday Tip Off, when I was for Wayback Wednesday, I was looking to go back and hit 81 points with Kobe in NBA Live 06. And at the time, that was something that we were challenged to do when that happened. And I remember being amazed by that game for a start, because we never thought a player would reach that level. And just logging on at work as I was finishing up the day at work and seeing that had happened, just jaw dropping. And then seeing the highlights of it, obviously. But there was an article on NBA.com challenging us to try and replicate that feat in either NBA Live 06 or NBA 2K6, the new games that were out at that time. So I tried to do that for a Wayback Wednesday a couple of years ago, celebrating that the anniversary, because it fell on the anniversary of that game. Because again, just that's a few days before Kobe's passing as well. Late January, that one. It's hard to do. And we talk about these performances as video game performances because they do seem like something that you would see in a video game, just spamming moves with spamming exploits with a player and just taking all the shortcuts to score ridiculous amount of points. It's hard to do, though, to actually replicate those feats and to do it with the same shooting percentages. I mean, I got 91 points or 92 points in that game, actually. It took me 84 shots to do it. He didn't take nearly that many. Because you don't necessarily get the free throw attempts they did, or the contested shots, as we were talking about before we started recording, or even just some of those inside shots. Even spamming Freestyle Superstars in Live 06, I wasn't getting a lot of the baskets. Had to make about 40 baskets. He didn't make quite that many in that legendary game. But yeah, I go back to the Jordan challenge and try to replicate some of Jordan's beats in that one, and it's. It just goes to show how amazing these performances were, that they happened in real life, and we call them video game like performances, yet they're so hard to do in video games to replicate.
Well, you know, we talked about this, you know, on a past podcast. We're talking about them, you know, adding modes like the greatest mode for 2K12 and the Jordan Challenge for 2K11. You know, a Kobe challenge could easily be made. You know, a mode
2K21, do it.
2K21, you got to do it. At that point, I mean, you worry about some things, like, you know, how they lost the license for licensing for Moses, for a year or so, and then now he's back in the game. We don't know what goes on behind the scenes as far as licensing goes and that communication. So maybe he could possibly be out of the game for a year or so. But if not, how do you not honor him with a mode like that when he had such a long career and so many big moments in his career, the 81-point game, the seven consecutive I mean, the 7-game winners in one series, one season, the string of 50-point games and whatnot. You have so many different moments in his career that you could easily make his last game, his 60 points, that you could easily make a mode out of it. Yeah. And I agree with you, too, about, you know, the difficulty of scoring 81 in a video game. And it shows you how amazing those performances are. It's like looking at Wilt Chamberlain's 100 points.
Yeah.
It's like, try to replicate that in a video game. Good luck.
I lost that game. His performance won them that game.
Yeah, think about that. Yeah, exactly. And that's the other thing, too, and you had alluded to this. You said the free throw attempts, but try to get those exact shooting numbers to get that point total.
Yeah.
Try to get those number of free throw attempts. Tough. Try to take the same amount of threes. Try to do it on the same amount of field goal attempts and whatnot. It's just, I mean, I had said, I talked about games against my brothers where my brother had a half, and I think it was live 2004, I want to say. I can't remember. I think it was 2004, but he scored like 100 points with Dan Dicko. But that is also human versus human with more human error.
Yeah.
I think it's tougher to do stuff like that when you're like playing against the computer on the hardest level.
Unless there's a particular exploit that you can always exploit, it is very
2K18. I bet I could do it on 2K18. I bet I could just ISO and
most,
just run by.
Most probably, yeah. I scored 126 in NBA 2K19 in my career because there was a defensive error that always happened in my career where they would just leave me open on the when I was bringing the ball up to the 3-point line. So I actually had a ridiculous 126-point game, 125-point game, which I think is the most I've ever scored in a my career game. That was when I just dedicated myself to destroying the league, basically, with my player. But it's generally speaking, it is much tougher to do. But again, he made it look easy, and it would be amazing to try and replicate those feats in a mode like the Jordan Challenge, call it the Mamba Challenge, Mamba Mentality, something like that, something catchy. Like you say, we don't know what the exact situation is as far as licensing goes. They do have a few more players from his era, and they've got Odin back in the game now. So if they wanted to do, I think if nothing else, they need to get either the 2009 or 2010 team Lakers into the game next year.
And 05-06, why not? 05 Lakers. Bynum. He was a rookie that year, but he was on the team. But Sasha Vujacic and Kwame Brown. And Smush Chris Mann, Smush Parker, they'd have to reach out to those guys.
Yeah.
Because, most of those guys aren't in it right now. But, they had Aaron McKee on the bench, who they already have the rights to. They had Jim Jackson, who they already have the rights to, who's on the 04-05 Suns. They had Kobe, Lamar Odom, Brian Cook. I'm guessing maybe they still have the rights for Brian Cook. But 09-10 would be definite. But, if they're already going to try to, if they put in that Kobe mode, the 05-06 team may need to be part of it if they want to do the 81-point game challenge. So yep. Maybe it would force their hand at asking for that, for the rights to those players and actually reaching out.
I'd love to see it happen. I've talked about how I'd love to see a retro challenge mode and how some of the retro teams kind of wasted. They've got challenges. You've got historic domination in my team, and it is just fun to play with them in exhibitions or in a custom my league, or even use them to create a retro roster of some sort. So they're not useless, but in some respects they're not being used to their full potential. There's a lot of players that are there have cards in my team that aren't on the all-time teams or any of the historical teams. So as many as they could get, if they could do that Kobe challenge mode. I'd be all for that. If it's legally feasible with licensing rights, something for 2K21 would be fantastic. But at the very least, if they could get a couple of more Kobe-led retro teams in the game, because obviously there's some of the early Lakers with Shaq as the man. If they could get a couple of ones from where Kobe was definitely the man. And to that end, I am actually working on a Kobe roster for 2K11. I am still working on a current roster update for 2K11, but I'm splitting time with this Kobe roster because it's kind of like a minimalist project, because there's a lot of assets in the game already or readily available to me that's already been provided by previous mods. And a lot of copy and paste, because when you have multiple Kobe teams and such, there's a lot of players that appear on multiple teams. But I'd like to do that. I'm not. That might be on the back burner at some point. Maybe I could get it out later in this year, maybe closer to his birthday as some kind of tribute. But it's something I wanted to do, and I'd love to see 2K do that in an official capacity as well.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to playing that, because you told me all about it. And like, you can even run it almost like a Jordan Challenge type thing, and give people rules and you know, rules to the mode that you created, and yeah, they could do it on fly or and whatnot. And I do. I think that's awesome, and it's a really nice touch in that when games have stuff like that. So it'd be really cool if they had it like an official NBA 2K. But hey, NBA 2K11 is still awesome.
Yeah,
that game is still really good. It still plays really well. People are still very fond of it. So that's definitely a good game to have that project on. I still have my 2K16 Classic Teams roster, which I finally started working on a little bit more today, because my computer's up. Everything's working great. That roster features the 08-09 Lakers, so their first championship of the two in the late 2000s. That instead of Artest, they have Ariza at small forward and whatnot. So I have them in it. I'm thinking about adding maybe one more Kobe Lakers team to that roster for 2K16, maybe 05-06 like I did with 2K17. But for my 2K17 Ultimate Classic Teams roster, I already have the 09-10 Lakers and the 05-06 Lakers in there. And those teams were both part of the last release. But you know what? It's pretty cool to, and my brothers and I talked about this tonight, because this is, again, it's basketball gaming weekend. So they, you know, both of them were here and we were playing, and he said, you know, Kobe may have passed in real life, but he'll always be around for us. Like, we're always going to be using him in video games. Like, he hasn't died in our household. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like tonight we started a new season, with the 05-06 Lakers. I'm locked on Kobe, Nick's locked on Odom, and Mark is using the other players. We played three games tonight, and we're having a blast. And, you know, we're still creating memories with Kobe Bryant.
You know, I think it will be. A couple of people have mentioned this on Twitter. Difficult to hear him do the guest commentary in the games, because he's done that the past couple of years. That might be a little tough for people.
Yeah, I think that I welcome it. Do you know what I mean? Like, going back and playing those games. And I welcome anything that reminds me of Kobe. I think the reason being is he was, let's put it this way. When he came into the league, same with you. When he came into the league, I was 12, 13 years old. He retired when I was 32, 33 years old. We literally grew up with Kobe Bryant. You know what I mean? I don't want to forget Kobe Bryant. And like, we literally followed him his entire career. And he was a big part of basketball discussion. Christ, I swear we brought him up every day, me and my brothers. But no joke.
Yeah.
And I don't want this tragedy to have us forget about him. Do you know what I mean? Like, I want that to live on, and I want us to be, you know, still using him in games and still talking fond of him and all of that. So I see 100% where you're coming from, where some people are, you know, they hear his voice and it bothers them. My brothers and I embrace that. That's what we want to be reminded.
That's a good way of looking at it. And again, it does, you know, keep his memory alive for those of us who, and people who idolized him and whatnot, and can still enjoy him, as you say, create new memories, as we've talked about so many times before on these shows, on the virtual hardwood, and to be able to go back, and obviously there are the real highlights that people can go back and enjoy as well, and pay tribute in that way. Speaking of paying tribute, as we kind of wrap up this tribute to a great player. You know, it's a very sad occasion, but we can end with some positivity, I suppose. How do you view the suggestions of changing the NBA logo or having everyone retire number 8 and 24? How do you feel about that?
I think it's coming from the right place. Do I think it's if players want to do it, I think that they're coming from the right place, because how is that coming from the wrong place?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I think it's a good gesture. I think the people asking that the NBA, you know, change the logo or kind of passively demanding it, if that's possible, like, you know, saying, come on, do it.
Yeah.
I think that's also coming from the right place for most people. I haven't seen any, like, hostility. I think that the All-Star changes were ridiculous. The All-Star game changes that they made. I mean, if they really wanted to make it competitive, to honor Kobe, just have them. And I saw a couple people bring this up, you know, have them play hard for the whole game.
Like, yeah.
You know, be competitive like Kobe was, and like have him, you know, that's a great way of honoring him. This whole, you know, only play three quarters and then credit the team's 24 points for the fourth. I was looking through it again, you know, before the podcast and whatnot. And I just, there's just, I don't like it.
If it's a once off for this to honor him, I think that's okay. Like, I mean, I'm not fond of it, but if they're going to make this change permanent, then I don't think so. I think a much better tribute would be to play that competitive game, like the ones that we grew up watching, like that great 2001 game. I mean, that, I know his Western All Stars lost that game, but what a shootout, what a battle it was, that 2001 with Iverson and Marbury on the East leading them to victory, and Kobe competing hard for the West along with KG and Duncan and whatnot. I don't see how it's more competitive by resetting the score. If anything, that just means that three quarters don't really matter at the end of the day.
There's definitely better ways to remember him
and
honor him.
I'm with you. I think that it's coming from a good place, these suggestions, and it's certainly emotions are running very high at the moment, as you would expect. My feeling is that, and I touched on it in the Monday tip-off, if these were appropriate gestures to make because of his importance to the league, it shouldn't take a tragic passing to be the catalyst for that. I mean, if Kobe was still alive today, and man, do we all wish he was, nobody would be suggesting to make these changes. And I know why, and that the fact that he did tragically pass is a factor in this decision, but again, nobody would be advocating these changes. Well, I won't say nobody, but I don't think there would not be that strong push to make these changes simply based on the merits of his career. I mean, if it's tragic passing, should we also retire the numbers of a league wide of Malik Sealy and Bobby Phills? I mean, their lives were no less important just because they weren't the stars of his magnitude. You know what I mean?
And John Havlicek too. Havlicek just passed last year.
Yeah.
Do we change the logo to John Havlicek? I completely agree what you're saying, and I think this one's a little bit more emotional because of his age.
Absolutely, yeah.
And because the people that are mourning Kobe most likely watched Kobe.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because of his age. And I think there's more of a connection with Kobe. And I also think that Kobe, you know, he does have five titles. Do you know what I mean? He is a legend. And by the way, Havlicek had his fair share of titles and was a damn legend too.
Yeah.
But again, he wasn't as young. So I agree. I think it's coming from a right place, and I haven't seen a lot of hostility towards it. I think just people suggesting it and players volunteering it.
Yeah.
You know, to change their number. But again, the All-Star game, for kids listening, you don't understand, the All-Star game used to be awesome.
Yeah.
The All-Star game used to be competitive. Well, and
people say it was never good. It was. There was a time.
It was damn good. You go back and watch some of the early mid-90s All-Star games, and those guys are playing.
Yeah.
You know, and the 80s ones as well. Hell, you go back, watch 80s games or like charity games.
Yeah.
That they had, like Matt Johnson would have his charity game, and they're working hard and playing hard there too.
Yeah. It's crazy, definitely a different mentality. But I mean, I do want to say I think the Mavericks have made a fantastic gesture by retiring number 24. I think that retiring two common numbers throughout the league is a bit much. I think if any other team wants to do it, more power to them. I just think that should be something that each team decides individually, because and how they want to honor Kobe is, there's been so many great tributes and great gestures that anyone else who wants to do it. I think also if by keeping those numbers, you allow future players to pay tribute by wearing the number of the player they grew up watching. So I think there's an argument both ways. As you say, coming from a great place, an understandable place of emotion and a positive, wanting to do something positive, but I don't think it's a must. I think it's something that a team could consider, as the Mavericks have done. I don't think it's a must. Same with the logo. I understand where it's coming from. I think it's maybe a bit... we're a bit in the moment. It's very raw. And of course, you suggest those things in the moment, but I don't think it's a must. If they do it, I'm not going to sit here and say how horrible. But I don't think we should... As you say, I don't think anyone is being negative about it, but I don't think they necessarily need to do it, and it's understandable suggestions. The tributes have been tragically beautiful, sadly beautiful. The getting the 24-second and 8-second violations, and actually I've seen this, and this has been quite cool to see, because I've seen it posted on Reddit. People playing in the rec, actually starting off the games and doing the same tributes and getting and just like everybody, random people together, just paying tribute like that. Of course, there's been some toxic jerks who have gone up and stolen the ball at the 15-second mark or whatever and just, tried to and ruin the tribute. But there's been some people who have actually literally paid those same tributes on the virtual hardwood, and it shows the impact. And like you say, we grew up and, I started really getting into the NBA and really getting into it in the mid-90s. And so I remember Kobe coming in as a rookie and then experiencing his whole career. I'm sure a lot of people have done that or experienced a bulk of his career, whether you always cheered for him or cheered against him, because as I say, sometimes he was the enemy. I think there was that underlying respect. So it's been cool to see people actually do that in the game. And for a community that can be, and I, again, don't want to get too negative here, but as I've talked before, when it comes to online play in 2K, can be kind of toxic at times. And there has been some of the couple of jerks, as I said. But for people to actually do that, those are the kind of people I'd like to play with and against, because they obviously respect the game and definitely respect Kobe.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, you'll always have those pricks.
Yeah, so the grief is always there, yeah, yeah.
You have the people that were on TikTok there. They had that group of kids. There was three of them, and they did, like, a fake simulation of the crash, pretending that they were going through turbulence and then hitting the ground and whatnot. And unfortunately, those pricks exist.
Yeah. There was the same. I obviously talk about the Buddy Holly moment, maybe not so much in the States, but certainly when Princess Diana passed away in that accident in 97. That's, I guess, another Buddy Holly moment for my generation, or maybe the Generation X. But, there were people making horrible jokes at the time. I guess that's the way some people cope, or people Reggie, it's a young person's thing, is it not?
It is. It is. And I think it's not limited to them. It's not just them, but it is a maturity thing, and a certain mindset. Mm. And unfortunately I've seen, let's put it this way. Let's appreciate the people that get it and have the maturity level to not pull shit like that. Excuse my language, but I saw that whole thing in the rec where somebody was upset because instead of, they basically went and tried to steal the ball while it was being held and didn't even say anything either, because I believe they were on the mic or whatever, and because they were playing in the rec or whatever, and they just did it and just to be pricks, but whatever. Yeah. Like you and I just said, they're out there, and unfortunately they always will be. So
tragedies bring out the best and worst of humanity, I think, is the underlying statement, but sentiment, I should say. But it was cool to see those tributes in real life and in video games as well. Goes to show again that whether people particularly liked him as a player or cheered against him or for him, The respect was there, and you know, obviously you and I are blocked on Twitter for showing our respect to Kobe Bryant by someone we never even interacted with, but that was a weird turn of events. But emotions are running high.
Yeah. The thing I want to say with that is there's a difference between respect, like blocking somebody for showing common decency just means, let's put it this way, it's blocking somebody for showing common decency in an obviously tragic situation shows somebody's true colors. And I don't want that person to be following me on Twitter.
Yeah, like, I've never heard of him before.
I'd never heard of him before either. But if you want to block me for showing common decency, then...
That's fine.
That's fine. Just whatever. So, yeah.
So, to wrap it all up, I mean, this pain for people is not going to go away, and obviously it's so much worse for Kobe and his family. The tributes again have been beautiful in the wake of this tragic accident, and you know, it's still very raw at the moment, but we wanted to get on here and reminisce about Kobe, and there's so much, you know, like so many things we could talk about. We could talk for hours about him and do a whole breakdown of his career. We didn't want to do that per se, because there's definitely going to be people who do that and can do that in a visual medium and with highlights, and that's perhaps the best way to appreciate what he did on the court, is to watch his games and continue to talk about him with lengthy conversations in the forum and Reddit and social media and wherever. But we wanted to get on here, did we not? And just pay some tribute, pay tribute to him, and look back at his legacy on the real court and some of the virtual hardwood as well, because it's an amazing player, and so sad that, you know, that he's gone, and his daughter and seven other people, and just as her life was getting underway, and what could have been there, you know, with the next big thing, and of course. What the pride that he took, and there's been a lot of, it was trending hashtag girl dad, and I'm not a father, so I can't speak to this obviously, but just the stories that have been coming through with that, and how he was proud, and how people would ask him, you know, don't you want a son to carry on the legacy, and he said, I've got kids, I've got daughters to carry on the legacy, and you know, whatever else has happened, and you know, we've kind of danced around it and some of the controversies, because it's really not about that, and it's been talked to death as well. Excuse the poor choice of words there on my part. It's a very sad situation, but there's been some beautiful sentiment coming out of it, and hopefully people can appreciate Kobe, the basketball player, if nothing else, and certainly those positive attributes.
Yeah, I really feel for both families. For all families involved, excuse me. I really feel for all families involved, and what I'd like, one of his big, the biggest things about his legacy is his work ethic and the way he approached the game.
Yeah.
And how he was fearless, the whole Mamba mentality thing. And I'd love to see more of that in kids in sports, you know, that work ethic and really, really putting your heart and soul into the game.
Yeah.
And I think we see enough of that now. And I think you could agree we watch.
What he was trying to do as far as counteract the whole AAU system and create something new there, you know, but hopefully his legacy will live on in that regard.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, like you said, you know, not dancing around issues as well. I mean, obviously he's had his fair share.
Yep.
Of things that have come up in his career, whether it was the banter and whatnot with Shaq, is the court case in Colorado, all of that. But as far as what he did for basketball, from all accounts, how he was as a father, and you know, what he meant to so many people as far as like his basketball legacy and whatnot, and his off court involvements in charity. He was recently involved in tennis as well. You guys can look that up, etc. While his legacy is also complicated in some ways, it's hard not to see a lot of positive with, you know, what he brought to the game of basketball and how he was as a father.
Absolutely. And again, we send our condolences to his friends and family, the friends and family of all everyone involved in that tragic accident. And but hopefully we can enjoy his highlights moving forward and appreciate him. Just a shame we won't hear that Hall of Fame speech, I should say. That would have been quite something to hear.
Yeah, it's, I mean,
mind-blowing,
you have people do weird. Go ahead, sorry.
I was going to say, mind-blowing that he's going to be a posthumous inductee into the Hall of Fame. I would not have guessed that in a million years.
No. I mean, you have people doing, like, Photoshops of putting him, like, in front of a Hall of Fame stage, and it's just weird.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's weird to see that because we never really got to see it. And technology has come a long way so they can make it look pretty real. But, yeah, it would have been something else. Because he is. He's a good speaker.
Yeah.
He's with his words, and he can be motivating and whatnot. So, yeah, it's sad that we're not going to see that.
But as you say, hopefully that we can take those lessons from the just as we wanted to be like Mike, you know, have that Mamba mentality, I suppose, is what we should all strive for. Any final memories of Kobe you'd like to show? I'm sure he'll come up in future shows, but as we wrap up this tribute, any final memories you want to, or comments you'd like to share?
We were down, so 2010 finals, where Celtics are up by 15, I want to say, going into the fourth quarter. And we just knew, I had this feeling in my gut that we couldn't do it, like that we were going to lose. It was game seven, I felt like we were up 15, but we were still going to lose. And that's because they had Kobe.
Yeah.
So, you watching Kobe throughout the years, you never felt like you had the advantage. Let's put it that way. Whenever you were watching a game. So I think that's the biggest memory of watching him play, you know, throughout the years. And fortunately I was able to follow him through his whole career, is you always felt like he was going to find a way to get the Lakers to win and bring his team on top.
Mm. That's a very rare commodity. And that's why the Jordan comparisons were, even if I didn't like them as a young man, as a young teenager, they were apt, and they would turn out to be very apt indeed.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I'm a big Jordan fan, and I think that Kobe being a shooting guard, being the same position and with his skill set, is probably the most logical comparison.
Mm.
To Jordan, as far as I'm not on the same level, but he was this generation's Jordan. Basically, he was the 2000s and 2000 early 2010s Jordan for the younger crowd.
He took the torch. Absolutely. You know, MJ, when he retired that final All-Star game, when he referred to leaving the game in good hands, I think he did. I think people do talk down the 2000s, as they do the 90s, 80s, and anything that's not 2015 and beyond sometimes, as we've mentioned before, sadly. But he was, and he was that player, that constant in the All-Star game and whatever, and a multi-time champion All-Star. I think, if I had to sum up his legacy, I mean, it's very difficult, but how amazing he was. You remember that ad, the shoe ad, where he jumps over the car?
Yeah.
The fact that people, that there were actual debates whether that was real or not, whether that wasn't CGI, obviously is ridiculous. I'm sure he could have jumped over a car, but as if they would take the risk of doing that with Kobe Bryant. You know, the people would, that it would be so illogical for that to be a real stunt, I mean. And yet people still debated it. I think speaks to how amazing he was, that people just thought that maybe they were willing to take the risk that he could jump over that car speeding at him. He had some great commercials, and I always remember the Feet You Wear, his first shoe for Adidas back in the day, and some of those other ads. And I didn't always cheer for him, because he was a killer like MJ, and of course those comparisons, but. What a player, and it's a shame we won't benefit from him being around to mentor future generations and future players, and to simply get his insights. But I'm glad I got to witness his career.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that about the Kobe jumping over the car commercial. Real quick, you know, do you remember the old McDonald's commercials with Jordan and Bird?
Yeah,
where
yeah.
They're from all over. There was that debate when we were younger where it was like people were wondering, did they really make those shots?
Yeah.
Were they sitting up in the rafters and making those shots? And that just shows you a level of greatness, you know, that people would think that those players can do those things. Or like you said, like they even put Kobe in that situation and that if Kobe, you know, could possibly do it and whatnot. But, you know, another thing that I remember Kobe real quick, I remember Kobe as the baggy clothes era of Iverson and whatnot, in that style, and that style being so influential to us growing up.
the Limp Bizkit era, if you will.
Yeah, exactly, the Limp Bizkit era, and you go back and watch and you see what Kobe was wearing, and it's the super baggy shorts and the baggy jerseys, and the way the players dressed, they wore baggy clothes and the big long white tees, like the big oversized white tees and whatnot. And it's just, it was a different time. And, you know, it's just, it's funny looking back on that, because that was my teenage and young adult years.
Yeah.
And boy, were they influential.
No question.
Those athletes, so.
So, yeah, that's, I guess that's our tribute to Kobe. And it's, as fun, not fun, I'm trying to find the words, as cathartic, I suppose, and as enjoyable as it is to get on here and to reminisce, it's for a terrible reason that we had to do this, but I am glad that we're able to get on here and pay tribute, as so many others have, and I hope there are some more beautiful tributes to come with great highlight reels and mixes that people put together, and I'm Not keen on what they've done with the All-Star Game, but I hope it does work out for people who will be enjoying it and watching it, and the tributes continue, and that we always can focus on those positives and what he did for basketball, and celebrate him, and you know, it'll be a shame to see him go into the Hall of Fame and not be there to give that speech and accept the induction, but he's going in as soon as they can put him in, and there's no reason why they shouldn't.
Yeah, and I'll say this again, and this will be my final thought on it. But again, Kobe Bryant is not dead in my household.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. He's not. He is very much alive in our household, and we use Kobe in video games every weekend, and we're talking about him constantly. And that hasn't stopped just because he passed. You know what I mean? We all three of us, me and my two brothers, grew up with Kobe, and he's still very much a part of our conversations and whatnot, and we don't want to forget about him. So if anybody can take that, as you know, listeners, is maybe a positive as far as this, there's no positive in this, but basically don't, like, you can still honor him and still talk fondly about him. I know it's tough, but, and yes, he passed, but you can still do that. And like I said, he's not going anywhere in our household. So,
and you know, in our video games, in our hearts, in so many highlight reels, and of course, it is a reminder that tomorrow is never guaranteed. So, you know, for people who may be, you know, looking to strive for what they want, or to repair a relationship or whatever. And I know some relationships, you know, can't be repaired and shouldn't be tried, but you know, that's a whole other a conversation. But certainly, you know, appreciate your time, appreciate the company of the people you love, and yeah, certainly celebrate time with them as we much as we celebrate Kobe, and never leave things too late.
100%. Hug your loved ones, because you never know. So friends, family, and whatnot, and spend quality time with them.
So that brings us basically to the end of episode number 309 of the NLSC podcast, our Kobe Bryant tribute. Tough to talk about D, but it's important again for us to get on here and to do that. I think it's all part of the catharsis and the healing, and certainly to pay tribute to such a great player.
Yeah, it was tough to find the words on here. Just a lot of things going through my mind still with it. And it's tough to basically talk in a short amount of time about a situation with so much gravity behind it. So thanks for having me on for this. And yeah, it's just sad.
Absolutely. And the conversation will continue, obviously, you know. Feel free to share your thoughts in the forum, the comments section. You know, Kobe should not be forgotten, should be celebrated at this time for his what he did on the court. So, you know, keep talking, keep that memory alive, and obviously inspired a lot of people. So I do hold that near and dear to your hearts. We will be back on the air, of course, in the weeks to come. We hope you enjoyed this as much as we can for such a somber subject. The podcast. We encourage you to tune in each and every week. We release every Sunday Australian time on the NLSC. We're also on various podcatching apps and platforms, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Stitcher. Search for the NLSC podcast logo, search for our name, and that will be us. As long as you're tuning in each and every week and enjoying the show, usually we're talking a bit more upbeat topics, but obviously this week we had a very somber subject to cover. But as long as you're tuning in and enjoying the show, that is the main thing. Where can we find you on social, D?
Twitter, D4384, YouTube, D4Three, over on the NLVC, so the NBA Live Veterans Committee. And yeah, I actually think that's about it.
And of course, as far as the NLSC socials, I'm on Twitter at AndrewNLSC. The NLSC itself is the NLSC on both Twitter and Facebook. On Instagram, we are NLSC Basketball. On YouTube, we are NBA Live Series Center. And of course, keep it locked to the NLSC itself, NBA-Live.com, for everything we do for basketball video games. But yes, that is all for episode number 309 of the NLSC podcast and our Kobe Bryant tribute. Rest in peace, Kobe. Until next time, I'm Andrew.
And I'm Derek.
Go get buckets, everyone. And when you do, don't forget to get out. Kobe!